If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to read 9th and 10th verse, if you would. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'll give you a second to get there. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that pretty amazing scripture, is it not? I mean, I believe it's truly amazing scripture that we have here for us. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about trials and difficulties, if I could please. And I want to get into it, but first let's have a word of prayer, please. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning again, I come with nothing but thanks upon my heart. Lord, I praise you, Father, for the opportunity that I have to stand before the congregation this morning and to stand before you, Lord. I pray, Father, that as the message goes out, Lord, I pray, Father, that hearts would be touched. I pray, Father, that people could understand, Lord, that no matter what they're going through, that, Lord, that you are always there and you're always there for them. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. Have you ever heard the story of Jim Abbott before? Does anybody in here know who Jim Abbott is? There's a few, I'm sure, that do. I see one hand it raised. It's one of the most inspirational stories probably that you'll ever come across, for those of you who've never heard it. And I encourage you to, if you don't know who he is, to look him up and read about him. I'll go down through with him a little bit. See, Jim Abbott was born without a right hand. He was born that way. And that in itself is not the inspirational part of the story that I want to talk about. For there are approximately like 8 million people born every year with handicaps. 8 million people, in this world that are born that year. So it wasn't the first to be born, he wasn't the first to be born with a handicap, and he will not be the last to be born that way. But you know what? What he did with that handicap is what makes the amazing part of this story stick out. You see, growing up in Michigan as a young man, you know what? His parents would not let him think of himself as being a handicap. It was any different than it. They wanted him to feel like he was no different than any other child. His mom and dad, get this, his mom and dad learned to tie their shoes with one hand so they could teach him to tie his shoes with one hand. You parents try that sometime and see how that works out for you. They did that for him. His dad taught him how to play baseball using just his left hand and the mitt that was on his left hand. That's how him taught. Jim Abbott went on to pitch for his high school team and was an all-state pitcher in baseball with one hand. His senior year, he batted .427, hit 7 home runs, had an 0.76 ERA. For those people who know anything about this, he was one-handed, batting one-handed. You get where I'm going with this? He was the backup quarterback for their team. He got to play the last 3 games of his senior season. Guess what? He threw for 600 yards, 6 touchdowns. Oh, yeah. This one-handed guy that his parents would not let him think of himself as handicapped. And by the way, he was also the punter for the team. He averaged 38 yards a punt for his high school team. Pretty amazing story right there, right? If you ended it right there. But there's more. He got a scholarship for the University of Michigan. Went on to become the Amateur Athlete of the Year back in 1987. He pitched 3 years for Michigan, was an All-American. Won the gold medal for the United States in the 1988 Olympics as a pitcher. Helped win it. Was drafted by the California Angels. Played 10 years. He won 87 games. He pitched a no-hitter in 1993. And the reason I bring this up is because there are some important spiritual lessons to be learned from this story about Jim Abbott. Pretty amazing, am I right? If any of you have ever seen it, if you've never seen it, go watch how he pitched professional baseball. He only had his left hand. He put the glove over his stub of his other hand, like this, hold it, and whenever he pitched, as soon as he pitched, he'd automatically put the glove on his hand, just in case the ball was hit. Whenever he'd catch the ball, he'd Drop the slow ball, grab it, and throw the person out at first all in one motion. That's how he did it. Very amazing. If you've never seen the story, you need to listen. This is true. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. There's some very important lessons to be learned Very important lessons that could teach us from what this went right here. And I want to read three of them to you that I marked down from this story. Our greatest weakness can be turned into our greatest strength. Our greatest loss can be turned into our greatest gain. And our greatest suffering can turn out to be our greatest blessing. Amen? The Bible tells us, and he said unto me, for my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what? There isn't one of us in here that cannot say that we have weaknesses in our lives. Am I right? All of us have weaknesses in our lives. And with those weaknesses, if we would let God use them in our lives, those weaknesses we have in our life can be made strengths in our lives also. If we let God do that to us. I want to look at these three statements, if you would bear with me on this. Our greatest weakness can turn into our greatest strength. There are those who will tell you, if you pray and don't see a positive answer to your prayer, it's because you don't believe enough, or it's because you don't have enough faith. I say horse feathers to that. Amen? That's what I say, baloney to that. That is not always the case. Because I'm going to tell you something. Our greatest weaknesses, maybe we prayed to get those greatest weaknesses taken away, but God does not want them taken away from you. Because He knows in those weaknesses that He can be glorified. And I praise God for that. You know what? Sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers for the same reason that you don't give your child everything that they want. You mothers, let me ask you something. If you have a dangerous chemical in your house and a young child wants to play with that chemical, do you give it to them? No, you do not give it to them. Why not? Because you know what's best. Whenever you're praying that God remove that weakness from you, you know what? And it does not happen. Listen to me. God knows what's best in your life. We not may be able to see it, but God knows what's best. You know, because God, guess what? God knows what's best. You see, Jim Abbott's parents could have given him, could have fallen into that same trap and said, listen, their son's handicapped, and we're not going to force him to be anything. We're just going to let him just live his life. They didn't do that. They wanted him to know that he was no different. They wanted him to feel that he was no different than any other child. But instead of focusing on what he couldn't do, guess what? They encouraged him and helped him and showed him, didn't let him feel sorry for himself. I want to tell you something here this morning. I hope and pray that you're not sitting here feeling sorry for yourself this morning. I hope that you're not. Because you know what? You are a child of the living God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what weaknesses you have in your life, God has got that there for a reason. And He's wanting to show you that in your weakness, that He can be lifted up and that you can be made strong through those weaknesses. Yeah, sure. Jim Abbott was born without a right hand. You know what? That wasn't going to change no matter how much they wanted it to change. Remember in the Bible? What Paul did, Paul prayed three times to have his thorn removed. And guess what? God said no. And then in Paul answering prayer, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for everyone in the sound of my voice here this morning. No matter what weakness you have in your life, God's grace is sufficient for you. That means God's grace is what? It is enough for you this morning. Praise God this morning. That should make you want to shout. That should make you want to praise God beyond everything. Because His grace is sufficient for you no matter what you're going through, no matter what weaknesses in your life, praise God. Turn to the person beside you. I want you to tell them God's grace is enough. Tell them that and mean it. Turn to them and tell them and mean it. God's grace is enough for you. It doesn't take anything else. Am I right? It does not take anything else. God's grace is enough. Well, maybe you don't feel quite worthy. I don't know. God's grace is sufficient for those of you who do not feel quite worthy. God's grace is sufficient. When you're going through trials and you feel that you're at your weakest point, remember, God's grace is sufficient for you. I don't know what you've went through. A lot of times I talk to people, and people tell me what they're going through, but sometimes there are people, I guarantee you, in this church are going through things that they're not telling me about, and maybe you don't know about, but I'm here to tell them, and I'm here to tell you that God's grace is sufficient. When you're going through trials and you feel like your church is weakest, remember that. Maybe you've backslidden. When in a moment of weakness, maybe you've done something that you're not proud of this morning. I don't know. But listen to me. Maybe you've turned your back on your family, on your church, on your God. I want you to know God's grace is sufficient. It is enough to get you where you need to be. And your weakness can be turned into a strength. I want you to know that this morning. When King David did the unthinkable, and we all know the story of King David. And you know what? And his weakness, he slept with another man's wife. Then he had him killed to try to cover up the whole sordid affair. We know the story. You know, I tell you this all the time, but I know that the Bible is real because the Bible doesn't try to hide any warts. Amen? It tells of the great things that the people have done, and it tells of the things that are not so great that they have done. If this was something that was made up to fool people, do you think they'd have put the warts in it? No, they wouldn't have. God's grace was sufficient for him. Amen. When Nathan confronted David, and David repented, and instead David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto him, David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. David didn't quit. Instead he repented, and he wrote some of the most encouraging scripture to people. If you just listen to it, if you go to Psalms 51, mark it in your, I'm not going to read it all, but if you get the chance today, read Psalms 51. That's what David was talking about whenever he talked about what he had done. When Peter, in his moment of weakness, denied knowing Jesus, God's grace was sufficient, was it not? Oh, Peter didn't quit. The Lord didn't give up on him. You see, once the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, you know what? Oh, Peter was not only worthy to stand up and talk about Jesus, but Peter also died for Jesus. He died for the cause. We know that Peter was crucified upside down. Not bad for a man who on the night that Jesus Christ was crucified denied him three times. Amen? I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know if in your own heart and mind you have denied Jesus or denying Christ, but I'm telling you here this morning, Jesus' grace is sufficient for you. Or how about Paul? A man who tells us that he not only persecuted Christians, but he had them put to death. To a man who wrote the majority of the New Testament, amen? And is it to a man who penned such scripture as 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You know what old Paul knew? After all that he had said and done, brothers entered on the road to Damascus, he found Jesus. Amen? I want to tell you something this morning. If you do not know who Jesus is, you can find Him this morning. His grace is sufficient. And you know what? You can say, eye has not seen, nor either hear heard. Praise God what God has in store for them that love Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Romans, he wrote scripture like Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Do you love God this morning? Do you love Jesus this morning? I'm here to tell you, if you love Him this morning, all things will work to your good. I don't know what happens, I don't know what path you're going down, but I can tell you that all things will work to your good if you love Jesus this morning. Yes, God's grace is sufficient. Amen? It is. That tells me that no matter what you've gotten yourself into, God's grace is sufficient. Amen? His grace is sufficient. No matter what you've gotten yourself into, God's grace is sufficient for you. I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to judge you this morning. I'm not here to put you down. I'm here to let you know that if you come and you give your life to Jesus, if you're back there and you backslid, come and this hour and give your life to Jesus again and let Him take it. And He will, because His grace is sufficient. Not only can He forgive you, but He can take that weakness and make it a strength in your life. He can do that. some of the greatest preachers, some of the greatest missionaries, some of the greatest teachers and preachers that have ever done God's work were those people whose weaknesses had got the best of them sometimes in their life, and they were terrible people, like Paul was, like David was. But guess what? God's grace was sufficient. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how bad you think you've done. There's no depths of sin that you've went to that Jesus Christ's blood can't reach your life. That His grace can't reach you. The second point I want to talk about is our greatest loss can turn out to be our greatest gain. What does the story of Jim Abbott teach us? What does it teach us? You know, that we can, that you know what? That we don't have to be bound down by our circumstances that we're in right now. You and I do not have to be bound down by the circumstances that the Satan is trying to bound on us, trying to hold us down. We do not have to let those things get us down. Folks, we can do amazing things in the service for Jesus. Can we not? I like Philippians 4:12. It's probably, I got a lot of favorite scriptures, but it's a favorite one of mine too. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Who strengthens me. Say that with me. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's you. God is no respecter of person. God can do that for you. He can do it for me. But you know what? We've got to let Him work in our lives. Don't let circumstances, your past, or those around you dictate, you know what, you're going to live, how you're going to live for Jesus. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, this is Paul speaking again, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. There are many times when friends and family and neighbors and co-workers may turn their backs on you. You know what? And it hurts. Whenever they do this, I'm not saying it doesn't. And it does hurt. Some people can't handle the rejection. And you know what? They do go back. But Jesus addressed this. If you're under those circumstances in your life right now, Jesus addressed that in Matthew 19:29 when He said, "And everyone that has forsaken home, brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, listen to me, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." It's worth it. It's worth it. Listen to me. Hang on. Hang on to Jesus no matter the cost. Hanging in there maybe will bring you ridicule. I don't know. It may do that. But I'm here to tell you, you may be made fun of, you may be mocked, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I'll talk to you this morning. Maybe you've lost your health. Preacher, how can losing one's health turn out to be a gain, a blessing? Let me tell you something. I've seen some Christians suffer in this life. I have seen it. Even myself have even questioned why. I'll be the first to stand up here and tell you that. I'm the first one sometimes to question why, how good Christian people can suffer. But I've seen those same Christians go through pain and suffering and show the grace of God beyond measure. Show it to their families. Recently, we've lost two strong Christian men in this church. One in this church and one whose family goes to this church. Something stood out to me as I watched both families. Whenever Oki passed away, every time I ever went up there, before he passed away, every time I go up and talk to him, you know what came out of his mouth inevitably every time? This came out of his mouth. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. He didn't sit around feeling sorry for himself. He knew, he said, I was ready to go. I'm not worried. He said he was at peace. Then John Lockhart was the other gentleman. And you know what they heard from his family? That whenever he was even in the hospital, he wasn't worried about himself. He worried about somebody else, was he not? Listen to me. Yes, their health was lost, but their fight against their afflictions. They lost. You know what? We may think that they lost, but you know what? They showed the grace. They showed the power of God's love in their life. And through their struggles and through their death, I believe what Job 1:21 says is this what I think about them. As he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord give, the Lord taketh away. But guess what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Yes, the families of these two men have lost a lot. I'm not going to stand up here and say that they haven't. But you know what? Through their loss, the families were made strong. The families have a new resolve. Am I right? Am I standing up here telling you that they have a new resolve? Why? Because knowing that one of these days, they shall see them again one of these days. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We have a hope. We have something that, you know what, it's worth sometimes the loss that we suffer sometimes to strengthen everybody, knowing that when we didn't suffer, listen to me, when it's my time to die, whenever it's your time to die, I pray and hope that the grace of God, that His love shines forth like these two gentlemen did, that it can be passed on to the next generation.
Amen.
And to the next, and until the Lord comes back and gets His church going to, He said, praise God to get this to. So, through loss, we gain, do we not? Because of that, we can pass it on to our sons and daughters. The same peace, the same courage that they showed, I want to be able to show one of these days. And number three, our greatest suffering can turn out to be our greatest blessings. I've told you many times how I was led to Jesus. I've told you that many times and how I accepted Him into my heart. My sister died. My whole family suffered immensely. I'm just going, and I told you this story before. A once vibrant family walked around like a bunch of zombies, and that's how we did. None of us knew the Lord. None of us did. I had an aunts and uncles, maybe in the distance that did. Told that story many times. Like, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was devastated. I mean, I was totally devastated. She was 11 years old and I was just like 14. The whole family. But out of that tragedy came absolutely the greatest blessings that's ever happened to Dave Long. You say, what? Yeah. I found God's grace. I found Jesus Christ come into my heart. He saved me. I stand here this morning preaching to every one of you because of my loss. I don't know what you may be facing right now. I don't know. I don't know where you're at in your life. I can tell you this without apologizing or making any excuse to see it. If you will turn it over to God, you will be better on the other side of it. Your greatest suffering? Yes. God's grace is sufficient. It is enough to get us through. It is enough. Just give it to Him. Let Him have it. Your trials, your distractions, whatever may be going on in your life. In the Jim Abbott story, you know, I told you about, he was picked on by other kids. Of course he was. He tried wearing a prosthetic limb, and they would call him Hook. They would call all manners. You know how children are. They can be very cruel. He would come home crying because the kids would call him names. Even when he started playing baseball, the opposite teams would say stuff to him and all manner of things. They'd try to discourage him. I say this quite often. Whenever life deals you lemons, make lemonade out of it. Amen? I know it's an old saying, but there's a lot of truth to it. And you're going to face things in your life. You're going to face trials. I'm here to tell you, everybody in here will face something in their lives that is not going to be very good. How do you face it? How do you handle it? I'll read the verses of Scripture, and this is how you handle it again. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's how you handle it. You give it to Him. You let Him have it all. And I guarantee you, in your time of weakness, in your time of sorrow, God can make strength in your life out of that. He can make you the greatest witness. He can make you a great witness. He can make you a great worker for Him if you would just do that. As they come and get a song this morning, I'm done. Leave you with one more verse of Scripture, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen? You're suffering right now. Maybe you're going through a lot, but one of these days there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. Praise God for that.